This is The Pulse, stories about the people and places at the heart of health and science. I'm Maiken Scott. This story is part of our episode, Religion and Science. You can find us on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. It's Sunday service at Holy Trinity Lutheran Church in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. Light falls on honey-colored wood paneling through tall, clear windows and floods the vaulted white ceiling.
The Holy Spirit is alive and still among us, shifting and changing and reforming the prevailing narrative of the day.
Pastor Will Rose is decked out in green vestments. In the Lutheran Church, green is worn in the time after Pentecost. It represents growth.
Shifting and reforming how we understand God, how we understand grace, perhaps how we engage politics, how we engage the big questions of the day, how we engage faith and science.
Faith and science. Maybe it's surprising to hear science mentioned in a church sermon, but talking about it has become a mission for Will.
How is God calling us to help change the narrative?
Will Rose wants his congregation to be involved in conversations about everyday life, and science, to him, is part of that. Irina Zhurov is here now. Hey, Irina.
Hey, Maiken.
Irina, you visited a bunch of different Christian churches to get a sense of how and if they're talking about science. What did you find?
So it turns out how they think about this issue really depends on the specific congregation. So for some churches, the teachings of the Bible contradict scientific findings. For example, I talked to Thomas Heitch. He's a pastor of Meek Baptist Church, a Southern Baptist congregation in this tiny community. You can't even really call it a town in rural northern Alabama. Southern Baptists like Thomas have a pretty literal interpretation of the Bible. They believe God created the world in 6 days. And he told me that in the Bible Belt, in the South, the most religious part of the country, people don't often question that.
So it is one of those things where people just automatically assume in the church that God created. No evolution, God created. Now, does that mean that we don't have it in our schools? Yes, we have it in our schools. We have people that, even teachers here in the Bible Belt, that teach evolution. So you're going to find it, but it just doesn't come up.
In his 30 years of ministry, maybe two people have come to him with questions about conflicts between what they're learning in school and in church. And he pointed them to Scripture for answers.
What I teach here at our church, it would be God's word is the authority, final word.
So here, the Bible matters more than anything science may have to say.
But many, many Christians don't take the Bible that literal, and they sort of think of these stories as being up for interpretation. And there's also research that shows that most religious people are science friendly.
Right. Not all denominations teach a version of the Bible that challenges scientific findings in this way. But conflict does arise, often around specific issues like evolution and around turf. Who gets to be the authority on what? I want to take you to meet a guy who's working really hard to bring science into his church. He's like a one-man science-religion reconciliation committee.
Okay.
So we're going to a Baptist church in Nashville, Tennessee. It's a Sunday, the first day of an adult Bible study course.
Everyone listen up, please.
The regular teacher explains that this class is going to be a little different.
We're happy this morning to have a guest teacher. His name is Matthew Groves.
Matthew will be taking over for the next few weeks to teach this group science.
I want to give you a little bit of background about myself so you know where I'm coming from. I think that's fair. I grew up in a pretty typical Christian family.
They went to church a lot. And when he got to college, he joined the Baptist ministry there. But he studied physics.
And I decided that because I had all this science background and also had a strong church background, I could maybe help the church and science get along a little better than they currently often do.
And then, to gain the class's trust, and also because he's a devout Christian, he directs everyone to prayer.
So bow your heads. God, we live in an age that's often dominated by conflict, and we're talking about issues that can divide people this morning. I pray that
he prays that people are quick to listen,
slow to anger,
and for his words to bring clarity.
Amen.
Then he starts class. He draws a Venn diagram on the board, two big circles with a lens of overlap in the middle.
Venn diagram. We have one for science, one for faith.
He asks the class to throw out words and concepts and where they'd fit in the diagram.
All right. What do you think? Anybody got a suggestion?
Facts.
Fact. Would you put fact under science?
I think so.
Okay. And belief under faith. Great. Keep them coming.
Right through the middle, creation.
Creation in the middle. Gold star. Great.
For some people, though definitely not all, the Bible study classes are the first time they're encountering science education since childhood. Diana Chandler is one of them.
Even my science education in public school was subpar because I grew up in Laurel, Mississippi, and I was in the sixth grade when they tried to integrate the elementary schools.
It didn't go very well for the black kids, and she was one of them. She says there's a lot she doesn't know.
This is new for me, and I'm a bit leery and careful and skeptical as how I approach it when discussing scripture, because as a Christian, I don't want anything to get in the way of my scripture.
She explains the Bible has been a lifeline for her, has protected her community in a sense.
We could not have made it through slavery without faith. We could not have made it through people telling us that we were three-fifths of a person without faith and without prayer. So faith is a stronghold for me, but for others, I think science could sway them, make them question scripture.
Matthew fills up the Venn diagram.
I think I'll throw Bible up under faith.
Bible and subjective go into the faith circle. Objective and observable and testable, those all get filed under science. The class is engaged, but not everyone is in agreement about where things go. Diana speaks up.
And then, you know,
yes.
Everything you put on the science has been under faith for me.
Okay. So you would say everything? All right. So
I would say my faith is based on facts.
Okay.
It is observable as I interact with God, and it is mostly testable.
As a kind of compromise, he draws arrows.
This is the most complicated Venn diagram I've ever drawn.
Some people in the class are more open to hearing what Matthew has to say. One of them, Carol Butler, says for her, the creator of all things created science. So there's really no conflict.
We don't understand all the mysteries of science. We don't understand the mysteries of creation. But we know that they're one and together.
Part of what Matthew, the divinity student, wants to show is that religion and science are concerned with the same big questions about the world, about how things work and why. But there's a practical issue, too. Religious institutions in the U.S. are losing members. Even in the South.
The church in general is having a little bit of an identity crisis. How do we reach millennials? How do we reach young people? Is the church dying out? What do we do about this? And if you want to reach young people, science and technology is the river in which they're swimming.
People who leave the church cite lack of belief as the most common reason, and often say science specifically. Matthew says for churches to not only survive, but to be relevant cultural institutions, they have to engage with the things people are struggling with today.
Climate change is a substantive issue. Artificial intelligence, bioethics, a lot of big issues humanity is going to face in the next 100 years are focused on science and technology. And if the church wants to be a part of shaping the direction humanity takes, the church needs to have a seat at the table. And you can't have a seat at the table if you don't speak science.
Towards the end of class, Matthew asks volunteers to read from Ecclesiastes.
The sun rises and the sun sets and hurries back to where it rises.
Okay. Next.
He set the earth on its foundations. It can never be moved.
Matthew points out that the passage seems to suggest a stationary earth rather than one that orbits around the sun.
What's the problem?
Lack of scientific knowledge at that point.
Yes, precisely. You've been reading my notes too.
But that doesn't mean you just throw the passage out. It has other lessons to teach, he says.
It's about how time passes, and it's about how sometimes life feels fruitless.
The students add that the passage speaks of beauty. With that, he sends them off to church service until the next week.
Science is the best process in the history of the species for learning incrementally more knowledge about the natural world. But science doesn't answer, in some ways, what are almost more fundamental questions. Science describes the world, but it doesn't prescribe your actions within it. Science doesn't have anything to say about how you should treat people.
So, in other words, Mikan, science doesn't have anything to say about how you should live your life on a daily basis.
Okay, so I guess there is an opportunity for science-minded people to perhaps seek some guidance on those types of issues in churches. But in general, it just seems like there is an opportunity for churches to get more involved in teaching science.
Yeah, and that's something that sociologist Elaine Howard Eklund mentioned. She's at Rice University. She said churches could serve as hubs to get more people into science, especially in minority communities.
African Americans and Latinos are massively underrepresented in science. Yet, Latino congregations, both Catholic and Protestant Black churches, have a lot of after-school programs. And so some science leaders and faith leaders are trying to be thoughtful. You know, how could we use these congregations as sites to promote science? So let's not assume the conflict. Let's start by assuming some potential and thinking about maybe religion's not necessarily a problem for science. Maybe it could be a blessing for science under certain kinds of conditions.
She also says outside Christianity, other religious groups approach science differently.
Thank you so much, Irina.
Thanks, Mikan.